Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for this time that we can come and worship you. Father, we just pray that there be a protection all over this city for different floodings and things that are going on right now, that you would just touch and minister to people's lives, those that are out there that are trying to keep it safe, the police officers and the service people that are out there trying to get power restored in areas that need power. And God, we just pray that you would put your hand of protection on them, that you'd be with them and strengthen them, God, as they do this work to serve others. And God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the wondrous work that you're doing in our lives and that you're transforming us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd anoint the message this morning and change us and transform us into your image. Encourage us today by your word. God, we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, thank you, worship team. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Today I'm going to share a message with you on Beyond the Upper Room. It's the title of my message. It goes beyond the upper room, beyond what just the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then went out. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he talks about that they would be filled with this power, and a power and ability to go out and be witnesses into all the world and be able to preach the gospel, and that the Comforter would be with them and strengthen them, and the Holy Spirit would be with them. And I'm going to start in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, and talk a little bit today about just how the Holy Spirit works in our lives and what some of the benefits, or one of the benefits, that the Holy Spirit gives us in our lives, in our daily walk with him. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, and I'm reading from the King James today in this particular verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Notice the phrase, helpeth with our infirmities, in verse 26. Often people misunderstand the meaning of this word infirmities, thinking that it always means physical sickness or disease, that it always has to do with physical sickness or disease. But the word infirmities in this case is used in connection with our shortcomings, an area of our lives that we don't measure up, that we're not able to do without the power of God helping us in our lives. There are things, that tasks that God may give us in our lives that we are physically capable of doing, mentally capable of doing, but in this particular instance, there's some things that we come up short in, and there's no possible way for us to accomplish those things. One of the infirmities is found in the next phrase. It says, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Our prayer weakness is that we do not always know what we should pray about. That's a weakness we have in our prayer life, is that we're not always sure what to pray. So the Spirit comes in, or will come in, and help us realize what we need to pray for or intercede for us. Sometimes, to understand what someone said, first we must find out what they didn't say. And so I want us to notice here that Paul did not say that we did not know how to pray. What he did say was, because we do know how to pray. We know how to pray to the Father in Jesus' name because Jesus taught us that. That's what Jesus said. In John 16:23, it says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing," Jesus is saying. "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." We know we are to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So we know how to pray. We understand how we should be praying, okay? We should be coming to the Father in the name of Jesus and asking for whatever the need is, asking for it. But just because we know how to pray, it doesn't mean that we know what to pray for. Or as it says here, as we ought to pray or should pray. We don't know how we ought to be praying or how we should be praying in every instance. Although we know to some extent what to pray at times. However, we might not see the big picture or the details needed in our prayers. And that's what I think this is talking about. Why not? Because there's no way in our natural world for us to know all there is in any given situation. We can only observe circumstances from the natural standpoint. Even though people we pray for might know exactly what to pray for their needs, if I'm praying for John may come to me and say, hey, I need you to pray for this. And I may know, okay, I'm going to pray for that. But there may be underlying areas in his that neither one of us know about that need to be prayed for, and we don't know what they are. We don't always know what to pray for even ourselves in our own lives when we're praying and we have challenges. Of course, if we're hungry, we know to pray for something to eat and pray that God would provide some food for us if we're hungry. If we're behind in paying our bills or our rent or something like that, we know to pray for some financial benefits. Amen. We know, hey, Lord, if you don't send me some financial benefits here, I'm going to be hurting here. But we don't know the future. Sometimes we don't even know the underlying conditions that would cause the problem. There are times in our lives, in our prayer life, when we're praying and we don't know what the underlying condition is. Unless God shows us, we can't see into the spirit world and observe the activities of the demonic forces that are out there trying to come against us. I mean, we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There is a battle going on in a spiritual realm. If we could imagine in our own minds right now, there's a natural realm where all of us are looking at one another, but above us is a spiritual realm going on. You know, I had a teacher one time, a long time ago, that described it this way: when someone is preaching or sharing the word of God, if you can imagine, there's a smorgasbord, okay, going above our heads, just floating above our heads. When the word is being preached, there is. All the nutrition, all the food, all the necessary things for your life are floating right above your head. This is just imaginary, if you can get this picture in your head. I'm a picture person, so I hope you can see this. But they're floating above your head. And as you hear the message or the word of God being preached to you, that's being presented to you, this nutrition or food is floating above your head. There's a ham hock here and a turkey leg here, and and it's floating above your leg. And what you have to do as a believer, as one receiving the word, is you have to reach up and grab what you need and pull it in and digest it into yourself. You have to begin to capture the word of God into your own heart and pull that down into you. Otherwise, it'll just float right on by. Do you understand what I mean? And so spiritually, in our prayer lives, sometimes when we're praying, we know specifically what we might need to pray for, but there's a war, a battle zone that's going on above us, that where someone might be whacking and hitting and blocking and not allowing our prayers to make it to the throne room of God. And the reason that they're not making it there is there could be an underlying problem within the person you're praying with, within your own life. You may have some areas of your life that have gone unconfessed, or that you don't know or recognize as hindrances in your own life that's distracting you from allowing yourself to pray clearly to the Father. And so therefore, we need intercession and we need the Holy Spirit to come in and help us to break through those areas and break free from that into those things. There are evil powers behind the scenes trying to work against us. So in order to be effective, we have to deal with these unseen forces in our prayer. There are some reasons why we don't know what we should be praying for. There's some reasons why. For example, we may know something about a trial a fellow Christian is going through, and we may know how to pray that God will bless them and help that person. Beyond that, however, we may not really know exactly how to pray about the matter according to the will to the perfect will of God. This is something that I often think about when it comes to praying the perfect will of God in someone's life. Okay, and I'm going to show you something here, and I hope that this will help. But thanks be to God that the Holy Spirit does know the perfect will. One of the reasons praying in tongues is so valuable to the believer is because we are praying in line with the perfect will of God when we pray in tongues. Now let's look again at Romans chapter 8, verse 27. And I want to go to the last part of that where it says, because he maketh intercession, speaking of the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit makes intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. We don't understand always what's going on, but the intercession that's being done is made in the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit will always pray in the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit not only knows what God's will is in every situation and perfectly in every situation, but he also never leads us away from his word. Okay? Now, you may be saying, well, I know God's word and I never pray away from God's word. Okay? I have often, not often, but I have occasionally heard people pray not according to the word of God. I've heard people do that. A great example is my wife just pointed one out this morning. That songwriter, when he wrote that song, that one single stanza of the verse, the Lord gives and takes away. Well, takes away your sins. Okay? You know what I'm saying? But the context of what that is kind of theologically incorrect. We've often seen that when that song first came out, we kind of thought, oh wow, that's not really a scripture. That's kind of a little off there. And there are songs today that people love on Christian radio that are theologically messed up. Okay, and we sing them. Oh, we listen to them, and oh, we love. And I'm not trying to be critical, but there are songs we do that, and it's not by the it's not in the intention of the person that's writing the song to write something that is theologically incorrect. But there are times when that happens. I've heard people pray. I've heard pastors pray for people. I remember one time when I was out in Montana, and this guy, we were in this service. It was a ecumenical service. I think I've told this story before. I don't know if you guys remember, but we were in this ecumenical service, which means that there were people from different denominations there. And it was in this one guy's church, and he got up and said, there's someone here that has cancer. And he said, it wasn't a prophetic word. He said, this guy here, you know, Mr. Jones or whatever his name is has just been diagnosed with cancer. And so we want to pray for him. Okay. And I am not kidding. Okay. If there was a shovel in the room, he was throwing dirt on this guy. I'm serious. He was praying. He was going, oh God, we thank you as he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, that you will guide him on his way and his journey home to you. And I'm like going, and I'm thinking, he's condemning this guy to die. And the whole time I'm sitting there just like, oh. And so
So one of my board members was there with me, and he comes over to me afterwards, and he goes, Tim, he goes, Pastor, he goes, did you hear that prayer? That was horrible. And I go, yeah, I heard it. And he goes, well, that guy's my friend. He goes, will you pray for that guy? And I said, yeah, I'll pray for him if you want me to. And so he set up a meeting for me to go pray for him. And he went to him and said, listen, he went to this guy and said, listen, I want my pastor to come over to your house and pray for you that you would live and not die. And he said, okay, we'll have him come over. So I came over and prayed for him that day. I gave him a little book on receiving your healing and believing God for your healing. And it was just so we prayed for him. He went into surgery the next day, and they went in and they opened him up, and they found the cancer in his what those tubes, the colon or whatever it is. And they reached in and they grabbed it and they pulled it out in one chunk. It was not attached anywhere in the thing at all. There was like a cancer laying in there, and they just pulled it out and said, okay, you're all good. And so my opinion was, if he'd have waited one more day, he would have just passed it and not even known, and there would have been no cancer left in his body. But that was my opinion. I just figured we prayed for him, got all loose, was ready to go, but they went in there and grabbed it too early. But that's okay, because God got all the glory. That guy recovered more quickly than anyone, the guy recovered in like 2 weeks from the surgery. I mean, it was unbelievable. He was back on the job praising God, but I couldn't believe it. It was mind-boggling to me that someone would actually just was someone in the room praying that they would go that way. And I thought to myself, well, and I do this. I often do this. I mean, through my ministry, I have often run into people that have changed the word of God that not intentionally, I don't think. They just had circumstances in their lives that have redirected the path of their believing, okay? And so you know, they prayed for someone that person died, and then they changed their theology that God must have wanted that person to die. And as tragic as that death would be, I would never want to blame God for that. Because I'm thinking we're short. That if there's a shortcoming, it comes on our part and not on his. I don't think God comes up short in areas. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. When we get there and God says, you just believed in me too much, he'll be mad at me. I don't know if we can believe in God too much. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know if we can get too many people saved. I mean, wouldn't you love to get there and have God say, I really didn't want you to witness to that guy, but then you did, and I had to save him. Or I didn't want to heal that person there, but you kept telling him that I would heal him, so I had to heal him. Wouldn't you like to get there and have God say that to you instead of, why did you tell that person, you know, that, yeah, or no, why did you pray for that person that I wouldn't heal him? Why didn't you know my will there? Why didn't you know my will was to heal them and not, and my will wasn't to take their life? Why didn't you know that about my will? I mean, I don't believe God's will is done every day, because I believe God's will is that all would be saved and none would perish. I think the Bible says that that's his will, but people die every day without knowing Jesus. So does God's will get done every day? No, it doesn't. I wish it did. I wish God's will was always done. Because his will is perfection. His will is perfect in love. His will is perfect for each of us. Is it being accomplished in my life every day? No, his will isn't always being accomplished in my life, because I'm not perfect. But when I have the Holy Spirit with me, interceding with me, I won't pray offline of the will of God for my life. The Holy Spirit will always pray in line with the will of his will. Now, you may be saying, well, Pastor, is it God's will for everyone always to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Here's my answer to that. Yes. Now, will Pastor, does that mean I'm going to have to speak in public? No, because that's not the gift for everyone. Do you understand that? That, see, this is oftentimes people think that if I pray in the Holy Spirit, we have a prayer language in the Holy Spirit, that I'm going to have to pray publicly, that it automatically it makes me have to pray in public. Well, that's not, there's two different types of praying in tongues described in the Bible. There's one that's for the corporate body, which is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit gives to those that when he needs to, he uses different people in different areas, but that doesn't mean he's ever going to use you in that area. He may never use you in that area, although you should desire to be used in all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But he may never use you in those areas. So, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is described in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is for every believer. Why is it for every believer? Because the weakness in your life is your prayer life. You need the Holy Spirit working in you to pray in situations when you know not how you should pray. You need the Holy Spirit to help you in those areas. You need the Holy Spirit to come in and comfort you and be with you in certain aspects of your life. And speaking in tongues privately within your own prayer life is highly beneficial to you. The book of Jude says that it builds you up in the most holy of faith. I like that. Ephesians tells us, and I think it's Ephesians 5, I'm not on my notes anymore. I'm just guessing now. I'm not guessing. I know it's in Ephesians. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which dissipates, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, do not be drunk with wine that dissipates, but know the will of God, that you be filled with the Holy Spirit, continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the will of God, and I want the will of God for that in my life. I can let that happen in my life. I can let the Holy Spirit fill me and use me. The Holy Spirit will never lead us away from the Word of God. That means that as we yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to help us pray, he will always lead us in line with what God says. We can never go wrong. You know, oftentimes when I'm praying for someone, I will pray in the Holy Spirit for them. I will use my heavenly language in tongues, and I will pray for people in tongues sometimes with no interpretation for them, other than that I will pray in English so that they have understanding of what I'm praying for in some areas. But there are other areas that I will pray in the Holy Spirit for them under my breath, quietly, not to offend them or anything. But I may often do that. Or when we're in a group, when people invite you up and say, well, several people come up and lay hands on this person, at that time I may come up, I may come up and lay hands on that person, and I'm not the one doing the direct praying, but under my own, quietly to myself, I'm whispering and praying, and I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. Because I know when I'm praying that way, that I am praying absolutely the perfect will of God for that person's life. I am praying absolutely according to the Word of God by faith. I may not know what I'm praying over that person, but I do know that I may not know specifically and have an understanding of what I'm praying for that person. But I do know what I am praying for that person. I am praying the perfect will of God into their lives when I'm praying that way. Does that make sense to you? Because that's what the Bible tells me. I'm praying the perfect will of God. Again, our weakness is that we don't always know what we should pray for. We don't always know. I remember when I was traveling as an evangelist, there were times when I'd be praying for someone that would come up and ask me to like an unspoken prayer request. And they would say, will you pray? I have a need, but I don't want to tell you what it is. So I would pray. And there were times when God would tell me what that was. And there were times when God would not tell me what that was. I would get a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom on what to say to that person about that sometimes. And sometimes I would just pray in the Holy Spirit and that would be it. Because I didn't know exactly what to pray. I would pray in English so that they would get some comfort in knowing that I'm praying for their unspoken need. But then I would also pray in the Holy Spirit so that I knew that I was directly praying towards the need of that person's life without any mistake, without ever knowing. And I don't need to know. Do I? Do I need to know all those things? No, I don't. I just need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that he would send his Holy Spirit to be a helper to us. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may be able, and he will abide within you forever. This word helper translates from the Greek word paraclete. Now, the Amplified Bible gives us a sevenfold meaning to this word, and it is comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. To stand by us. The Holy Spirit is with us. He's our strength. He's our advocate. These are all things that we're willing. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our helper. These are all things. But he is also our intercessor. He's our intercessor in times of prayer. He will use us in our lives to pray for the unspoken need. There are times when, and I know we've all heard stories of when we get woken up in the middle of the night and a missionary comes to our heart and our mind and we begin to pray and we pray in the Holy Spirit for that missionary that's over there and we pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. We don't understand them. We just pray in the Holy Spirit for the need that's over there. And then sure enough, that years later when that missionary comes home from that thing, they'll talk about a specific date that was just this one day that all this stuff was happening and that I could sense your prayers and you'll have written in your journal and there it is that you prayed for that missionary on that day at that time during that time period, that the Holy Spirit woke you and began to use you in that area to pray for that person's life. And something miraculous happened in that missionary's life. There are time and time again, story after story after story. The Lord, there are times, and I don't even know or understand, but there are times when in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit will wake me up and ask, and there's such a burden for me to pray for one of my children, or because they're so, you know, they're all scattered all over, and it's a heavier burden than normal, and I don't always know what's going on. I don't know. I can't call them on the phone right then and say, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? Why is things not so well for you? That's just Dave. He's all right. He knows how to find the coffee. Then I'll begin to pray and I'll pray in the Holy Spirit and I'll just, and then I don't even ask him what happened that day, what went on. But sometimes I imagine that they're out kind of doing some things maybe they shouldn't do or whatever. And I try not to let my imagination run wild with my, you know, old teenage boys and stuff. Do I still have teenagers? Let's see. 19. Yep, I still got two teenagers left, don't I? One's over there sleeping. But do you know what I'm saying? I mean, there are times when you know you got to get up and you got to pray. And you don't know how to pray. And so this is when the Holy Spirit comes in. And as our helper and our intercessor, the Holy Spirit will help us to pray through victory as we pray. It will help us to pray through. One of the things, I remember one time years ago, I was reading a book, and the pastor, the author of the book, said that there was a time in his life when the Lord was dealing with him. He was reading through the book of Ephesians, the prayers of Ephesians, and he would read the prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. He would read those two prayers that are there, and he would personalize those prayers. We've done it here before. I've handed out the whole thing personalized so that you knew how to pray with that personal, but you can go through those two prayers and personalize those prayers to you. And I would highly recommend you go through and read those in the morning, every morning, for a prayer, and then begin to pray. And I remember he said that he would pray in his prayer time for a year. He didn't pray in English for a year. In his prayer time, he would just go in every morning and read those things out of Ephesians, and then begin to pray in the Holy Spirit for an hour every day. He would just pray in the Holy Spirit for an hour every day in his prayer time, and wouldn't pray in English. And he did that for a year, and he said that it was a remarkable difference in his life. And so I did that. I actually had morning prayer service. This was back when we used to do that all the time, 6 o'clock prayer meetings, and when no one would be there but the pastor. But I would go every morning and pray at 6 a.m., and I would set this thing up with these verses up on an overhead. Back then we had overheads. And so, do you guys remember overhead projectors with the little things? And so we used to use those. Then I would walk around, because I don't really do well kneeling down when I pray. I don't know about you guys, but I go to sleep if I kneel down and pray. So I walk around and pray for an hour, and I would pray in tongues, and I did that for a year. I just walked around and prayed in tongues for a year, and wow. Oh, and wow, what a difference. They're all back there praising God back there. And oh no, they're telling me to move back in front of the mic. And so I would pray and just they're all back there going, waving their arms in the back of the church going, and I'm going like, oh, hallelujah. Look at them. They're getting blessed. Oh no, they're telling me to move over. But I would pray for an hour a day in the Holy Spirit every day. And man, I'm telling you the impact that it has on your life just to begin to, and you might be saying, well, how do you do that? And I go, I don't know. I just decided I was going to do it, and I just did it, and I just kept going. And man, there was just such an incredible awesomeness of this closeness to God that I had during that time that it's hard for me to describe. But the Holy Spirit will do the job through us, but he won't do the job for us. You know, oftentimes I teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I tell people that the Holy Spirit's not going to come in and grab your tongue and start wiggling it around on you or anything. You actually have to push air out and begin to move. And by faith, these words will come, and you'll begin to speak with a heavenly language as you give that over to the Lord and let him do that with you. But you'll nowhere in the Bible will you ever read or find where the Holy Spirit is doing anything apart from people. The Holy Spirit is always working with and through people. For example, you will never read in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit meets someone on the street, saves them, heals them, and fills them. You won't read about that. However, you do read about men. You read about men and women, I will say, but you will read about men who are filled with the Holy Spirit and preach the gospel, and people are saved, and where you also read where people are healed through the ministry of the Holy Spirit's or the Spirit-filled believers that allow the Holy Spirit to work through them. So as we go through our lives as Christians, we should expect the Holy Spirit to help us and to help you. And expect him to live for, he won't live for you, but he will live through you. Okay, he will live through us in opportunities to minister to people. Now, I often say this to us, that we need to allow ourselves to be trained and sensitive to the Spirit of God and what God is telling us to do. It's remarkable to me as we're walking through the store that the Lord would never speak to us about saying good morning to someone or speaking to someone else or sharing something with someone. It's remarkable to me that God would never talk to us about doing those things. I think he does. I think when you walk through the store and the lady's trying to get something off the top shelf and you're gifted like me with the ability to reach the top shelf, that you should help. Do you know what I'm saying? I think you should look for opportunity to be a ministry to others, that you should be sensitive what the Holy Spirit is doing with you and through you to be able to minister to those that are around you. You should look for opportunities when you're standing at the water cooler and the whiner is whining about their life. And you're listening to the ongoing whining of this person's life. You should not return to your desk only to say that person whines all the time. But maybe you should follow that person to their desk and ask them if you can pray for them privately and say, listen, would it be all right if I just prayed with you right now? Because it sounds like some things are really going bad for you. And I don't want to just hear about it. I don't want to just stand at the water cooler day after day and listen to you tell me about all the horrible things that are going on in your lives. I want to call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to touch and minister to this situation. Would that be all right if we did that? And oftentimes you'll find that those people are more than willing, that oftentimes those people are crying out because they have no place to cry out. They don't know where to go to cry. And they're looking for someone that has an open ear and an open heart to be moved on by the Holy Spirit to do something that you can intercede. Now, you might not know what's going on. Now, listen, I don't recommend that you go up, okay, to just any old person and begin to pray in tongues, nice and loud, right in their ear. So pray in English, but then pause for a minute and pray in the Holy Spirit to yourself. You know, it's funny. You read about that in Corinthians where it says if there's no one to interpret the tongues, that you should keep silent in church. Have you ever read that and thought, oh, well, I've often wondered about that. I've often thought, well, how is it that somehow you think when you get in public, and it's clearly not the setting to do that, that it's necessary for you to pray in tongues out loud and be goofy? I'm just saying, if the Lord leads you, but to me, that would be a good time to be silent too, because there's not an interpreter. Even though you pray well, the Bible says. It says you pray good, you pray well when you pray in the Spirit, because we know that it prays the perfect will of God. How could you mess up a prayer? I often tell people that every year at Thanksgiving, for some reason, I am the one at my dad's house that gets invited to pray over the holiday feast. I'm the one that gets asked to pray. So I pray, and I guess what? I pray in English because I want everyone at the table to be able to say amen. Now, if I wanted to pray the perfect will of God for that situation, I would pray in tongues, but then who would be able to say amen? I would rather, that's what Paul was talking about, I'd rather have them understand what I'm saying and say amen than not understand and be unedified. So there are instances when we should pray in tongues privately to ourselves, and there are times when we can do it corporately when there's an interpreter. But most of the time, we're going to pray in English, and then we're going to pray to ourselves in the Holy Spirit so that we can, I like to think of it, so we can touch all the bases. See, when you ask me to pray for you, here's a sports analogy. When you ask me to pray for you and I pray in English, I may only hit a double. But if I pray in English and I have a man on second, and then I pray in the Holy Spirit, I knock him in. I clear the bases. Because I finish what I started in English because of the limit of my understanding. See, my understanding only allows me to get to second base. But if I pray in the Holy Spirit, it allows me to hit a home run every time. Does that make sense? It allows me to get all the way around the bases and touch all the bases that God would have me to pray for when I pray in the Holy Spirit. So let's train ourselves to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And then when things arise that we're ignorant about, but we don't understand, that we just don't have an understanding, we can say to the Holy Spirit, I don't know what I should pray regarding this situation, but Holy Spirit, you do. And please help me to pray. And he will be faithful to do that. He will be faithful to pray year-round the bases, get all the bases covered. help you to understand and to and help you to be confident that you know that you've prayed the perfect will of God into the entire situation and that God has moved into that whole situation. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to be encouraged by your Holy Spirit to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you haven't invited him into your heart and life, if you'll slip up your hand, we'd be happy to pray with you. If you drifted from that relationship, we want to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Now, if there's anyone here that has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or and would like to, I will pray with you after the service is over. I'll be happy to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I encourage you, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit or you would like to do this on your own, you can go home and you can just pray and say, Father, I'm not asking for stones. I'm not asking for, I'm asking for bread. Feed me your Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit, that I would be able to speak with my own private prayer language, and God will fill you with the Holy Spirit, and God will fill you with the ability to pray in another language for his benefit. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, we just give you praise. We give you glory. Work in every one of our lives. Cause us, stir us. Allow us to use your Holy Spirit in our prayer life on a regular basis. God, use us regularly with the Holy Spirit. Guide us, move us in directions, O God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would speak into people's lives and encourage them and strengthen them. God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. Help us in our prayer lives as we come to you and ask for your grace and your mercy to move in situations. We just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.